I want you to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles just for a few moments here tonight. I want to be an encouragement to the church. Book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, please. You have such a beautiful place here, and I thank the Lord for the saints of God sacrificing to get what you have. I pray God bless you for doing that. When you found your place, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to just pick up at verse 12 for the sake of time. Would you stand to your feet just for a moment and honor the precious Bible as I read something to you here tonight? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives and their children. You can be seated. Dear precious Heavenly Father, thank you for the labor of love of this precious man of God that's been here through the years. Thank you, Lord, for how you've sustained him and helped him. And God put these people together. Thank you for the testimony of the radio station and all the labor that goes in the college and the work that goes on around the house of God. Lord, every sinner that's been invited, every message ever been preached, I pray your richest blessings upon this man of God and upon his people. Now, Lord, I've allowed to stand here in this place, knowing, Lord, that I need you more than anything. I need the touch and help of God. I pray you'd anoint me and help me, Lord, to be a blessing unto this house of God. Lord, if you've ever used me, I ask you, God, to use me tonight to help somebody. Lord, get strength for the journey and help from God. Lord, give us liberty. Give us help and unction. And we'll bless you and thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. In this chapter, there has been great controversy going on in the land of Israel. The land of Israel has now been in such disarray, and the king had got so backslid on God from time to time that God's judgment had come upon his life. I don't know how you are as a child of God. Some days in my life, I'm simply full of God. And in some days, I'm full of me. And I don't know how you battle you, but I know one thing. I have a constant battle with me, and I'm sure you have the same thing going on in your life. And sometimes around the house of God, the church is full of God, and then it's full of each other, all their stuff that comes with that. And we all look for revival in our life. Don't you like it when God shows up and revival comes in the house of God? Everybody's happy, everything going right in everybody's life. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a generation where really we're living for God the best we know how. But this world is not our friend. It's not a friend to you, nor your family, nor your children. And we understand that the government, ladies and gentlemen, is getting further and further away from God. And they too have become an enemy of the gospel. And we know that's right. And there's all kind of thing goes on in our life. Day after day, a battle gets set in our life. So it was in this king's life. He didn't know what to do, Brother Tommy. I mean, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and every enemy of God could come that way, had come upon his life. But I want you to understand one thing about this king. He come to the end of the road and got to looking around in his own life, and here's the conclusion he come up with. Look at verse number 12. He said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might nor power against this great company. Friend, when you get to that place in your life, there ain't but one thing we all can do. He done it just right. He said, but our eyes are upon thee. I want to preach by the help of God tonight on turn your eyes upon Jesus. Brethren, if we ever look toward God in our life, we need to do it and do it more so readily in our heart tonight that God could help our life. I know when the battle gets on, the things get going on in our life, we get sidetracked, things get our mind off of God. But aren't you glad every now and then you get your heart stirred and get your eyes back on Jesus and everything starts looking better in your life? I'm glad, thank God, he don't change. He's the same yesterday, thank God, today, and forever. If we could just get our eyes back upon the Lord, I believe revival would break out in our heart and the power of God would fall in our life. It's untelling what God might do if we all get our eyes upon the Lord. I say that he showed us plainly in the Bible how we can do that. Remember when you first got saved? I mean, all you studied about in your life was Jesus. Everything you've done was Jesus. But I tell you, the devil does his best to get our eyes off the Lord. And that's when we begin to make a mess in everything we do. But I'm glad we can turn our eyes upon the Lord, aren't you? First of all, I say to you that you got to do this in your life to get your eyes back upon the Lord. Hear what he said in verse number 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah, and they come together to ask help of the Lord. You know the first thing we ought to do in our life? We ought to begin to pray and talk to God. Don't you think so? I'm so glad, thank God, and the only way I know you can get your eyes back upon the Lord is begin to pray from your heart and call on God and let God help your life. If you look in your Bible, here's what he said in his prayer. As he began to pray and talk to the Lord, he said to him in verse number 4, he asked help of the Lord. Aren't you glad, thank God, we got somebody that can help us? Most of the time, he's the last person we turn to. But I'm glad, thank God, when it gets bad enough in your life and bad enough in my life, we begin to talk to God and start asking help from the Lord one more time against all the battles in the enemy of our life that God could give us some victory. I'm glad he can do that, aren't you? I remember when I first started out as a young Christian. I got saved, preacher, at the age of 29 years old. My wife got saved on a Halloween night, right in the middle of a fight. We was arguing and fighting in a little old car, and a little old bald-headed preacher had been coming around my barbershop and witnessed to us about to drive me crazy. It got so bad, preacher, when he come, I tell him to sit down in that barber chair. He took his hairpiece off, throwed it on the back bar, and said to me, "I need a haircut." Well, you got to understand, I was raised in a bootlegger's home, didn't know God, and just meat as a junkyard dog. And I started to say in my heart, I'm starting to say, now, where does he need a haircut under his armpit or what? So I decided I'm going to make that preacher cuss. It's the last thing I ever do. So I got the water hot in the shampoo bowl, sir. Steam started running out of it. I stuck it to my arm, made sure it's hot, and it burned my arm. I laid his semi-bald head in that shampoo bowl. Only hair he had was like a donut. Everything else was gone. And when I stuck his head down in that shampoo bowl, I put that hot water to the top of his bald head. And here's what he said. He didn't cuss at all. He said, "That's a little too hot." I knew it was because I was the fella that done it. And I thought, well, he's like the rest of that outfit. Ain't nobody real. I'm going to make this man cuss if it's the last thing I do in my life. I set him up, put the hair cloth around his neck. He said, "That's just a little bit too tight." Can I come down there and talk to y'all just a minute? I ain't used to being up. I'm used to being down in here somewhere. Now, we all let me be myself. Well, I get done quicker. If you do, if you don't, just stay to midnight. So you better just let me be myself. All right, listen to me. Just a second. I'm going somewhere. Didn't know nothing about praying. Didn't know nothing about God. And that preacher said, "Do you mind if I read the Word of God to you while you cut my hair?" Well, I didn't care. It didn't bother me. But when he started reading that Bible, King James, authorized, Word of God, inspired, inherent. It was alive, and I didn't know it. He started out as Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm shaking now. I'm not as cock and bold now. There's something happening right there in that book. Started jerking down inside my heart and put a fear in me. I got so upset with him, preacher. You know how barbers are. We're talkers. That's right. You got one in here? I thought he might be. Hey, I've done it for years. It's 20% ability, 80% ability to listen to you talk. Right. We all of us give a bad haircut once in a while, and we thank you, sir. He's my friend. Watch what happened. I got so mad at him, I took the hair off of my shears and throwed it on his Bible. He brushes it off and keeps reading. I'm going to make him cuss. I don't want this guy coming back no more. And when I get done, preacher, he stands up, puts the rug back on. Said, you've done a good job. And he gave me a tip. Now, most Baptists would have slapped the fire to me when I dunked the hair on your Bible. Or maybe just punched me out real good. Or at least clammed up. And he done something, and he hugged my neck. Here's what he said, I love you. Walked out the place. Less than 2 weeks, sir, he's back to get another haircut. And I said, I ain't putting up with this. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buzz it off on the back and chop a little buzz spot in the back. I did it. And fuss came back. Well, my wife got saved as all the end of all of that. And then November the 18th, 1984,
amen.
God saved me. Amen. I didn't know nothing about praying. Didn't know nothing about seeking God. All I knew was God saved me. And I found out I could talk to him. Now, I'm going to tell you how bad I was about it. I talked to him all the time. It's almost like I'm talking to him in my sleep. And so I didn't know, sir, that you could talk to God just about anywhere, anytime. So what I done, I climbed on top of my porch, got on top of the eave of my house, walking up and down the eave of my house in the middle of the night talking to God. My kids said, Mama, Daddy's on top of the house talking to God again. Amen. Remember when we were simple and just had a heart pull in my heart? Yeah. Have a way we had to do it. We was going to talk to him. I'm going to tell you what the devil's done. He's run you out of your prayer closet. He's run everybody I know out of their prayer closet. And all these enemies come in. Yeah. And there's that lost son, that lost daughter, that job I don't have, that financial problem in my life, and troubles around in my home. I tell you what, we need to turn our eyes back upon Jesus and start praying and talking to God again. Do you think that's right? Men ought to always pray in that not to faint. God said that in the Bible. He said in the Word of God, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Aren't you glad God answers prayer? God's so good to us. It's wonderful, ain't it? Have you got events in your life and places in your life where you got a hold of God and God done something for you? One of the most precious stories I could ever tell you that actually happened in my life. I worked for Brother Harold Seitler years ago when I was in Bible college. Me and my wife worked at the children's home. There we are, and here's a little red-headed boy by the name of Brian. And I'm going to tell you, every Saturday, there was visitation day. And that little red-headed boy by the name of Brian, nobody come and visited him. It was my job to put him to bed at night, My job to help them through the day. We were dorm parents. And I got to sit under Harold B. Siler. And son, you talking about a prince of a preacher. And he loved them kids. And so them children over there, everybody got a phone call. There's a certain time they got a phone call. But this little red-headed boy, he never got a phone call. But I tell you what he did at night. Don't you? I want to tell you what he did. At night, he found a place to talk to God. And in the morning, preacher, he'd get up. He'd come by me and said, preacher, and pull on my shirt, pull on my breeches. Preacher, mama's going to be here in 45 days. I said, well, that's wonderful, Brian. That's great. Mama's coming in 45 days. Well, this boy's a praying. I'm down at Bible college. I'm a preacher, you know. You hear I'm a preacher now. I'm going to Bible college, and God's teaching me something outside the classroom but a little old boy. So he come by the next day. Mama's coming in 44 days. Mama's coming in 43 days. Mama's coming in 42. Mama's coming in 40. Mama's coming in 35 days. My mama be here in 21 more days. Mama's coming. Well, I got concerned about that. Got down to 15 days. I said, I wonder, what about this boy's mama? Come to find out, the home had got some information that they'd found a body. And they're doing some tests on that body. And they think that body might be that little boy's mama. Now, what would you tell a little red-headed boy trusting in God, that believing mama to be there in 15 days, what would you tell him if somebody told you that information? So, preacher, we called him in the office, and here's what they said. They said, now, Brian, you say the Lord willing, mama be here in 15 days. You know what Brian was doing? The enemy come in. They was bigger than he can handle. He was turning his eyes upon the Lord. Amen. He said, okay, the Lord willing, 15 days, mama's coming. Here he went out the door. What was he supposed to do? He was getting in more trouble. You know how redheads are, there's one sitting behind you. And a lot of times they done it just to get attention. Well, it come down to 10 days and 5 days. And I remember the night that I put that little red-headed boy to bed that night. He said, preacher, my mama's coming in the morning. I said, that's good, Brian. Mama's coming. You know what I'm thinking the whole time, preacher? I don't know how I'm going to face him tomorrow when his mama ain't here. So I went over to the dorm and I got with my wife. I said, honey, I tell you what, let's do. Let's pray because I don't want to see that little brokenhearted boy tomorrow. So it was my day to go downstairs, church, and say grace over the breakfast. 90 kids down there. And so I'm standing at the head of my table and I look over all them kids and all of a sudden, that little red-headed boy ain't nowhere to be found. I thought, my soul, he's hid out for the day. He ain't going to show his face. I couldn't pray fast enough. Listen to me. I'm going somewhere. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I turned and went down that little turn. I went up, started up them steps, preacher. I got about 2-3 steps up. Got up just where I could see under that banister. Then I got another step up. I could see right up on that couch. There was somebody sitting on the couch. And when I could get my eyes focused on that couch, there was a little red-headed boy sitting in the lap of a red-headed woman. Amen. And that little old boy said, I told you mama'd be here today. Amen. His mama got saved that day, by the way. Amen. And they got to go home together. Amen. Don't you think if God could hear the prayers of a little red-headed boy, that when them mamas in the house of God get to crying over them wayward children and get to crying over their family and over the needs in their life, don't you know God loves you as much as he loved that little red-headed boy? And if God could answer the prayer of a little red-headed youngin, what do you think God might do if the house of God get to praying and get their eyes back on the Lord? There's nothing, nothing that God couldn't get done. I believe we need to get our eyes back on God, don't you? He rules and reigns in this universe, and he can answer our prayer, praise God. Ain't God good to us? I'm praying y'all give me $100,000. Y'all want me to keep praying? I woke some of you up, praise God. Listen, ain't God good? What I'm trying to tell you, God good, ain't? Brethren, we need to get back to that place where we turn our eyes back upon the Lord and get to praying like we ought to.
Amen.
I believe that'd be a good thing. I tell you what he said in verse number 6. He began to talk about how great God was. He said, O Lord, our God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Don't you know he's the God of this universe?
Amen.
God is so big and so vast that the heavens of heaven cannot contain his glory. But yet he lives in the hearts of the Son of Man. And he dwells around the house of God. And I believe it thrills God when God's people get to praying. I believe it moves his heart so much when we begin to say, aren't you big enough? Aren't you God enough? Aren't you the God of the universe? Can you not help me? Aren't you glad, ladies and gentlemen, God can hear and answer your prayer and work in your life? I'm glad he's a precious God, aren't you? I think, first of all, you got to turn your eyes upon him, look toward to him in this matter of praying. Secondly, I say to you that we need to look to the Lord and call on God in the matter of this thing about hearing preaching. I believe faith cometh how? What did God say? Faith cometh by hearing. Now, the Bible's not going to jump up and thunder. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I believe we need more preaching this day and hour than we ever had in our life. But there's less and less of it going on in our country. And I tell you what, you ought to be glad you got an old-time preacher and a rareback and preach this Bible and feed your soul.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God. Now what we got, coffee shop churches. Now what they got is little, what they call them, fellowship centers. Now what they have is any kind of flavor you want, but they have no preaching. Brethren, I'm glad there's a crowd up here, thank God, in this little town where the church's on the side of the road that you show up on Sunday morning and you show up on Sunday night and you show up on Wednesday night and the man of God ain't teaching, he's a preaching, praise God.
Amen.
So then faith cometh by hearing. That's why you ought to have your kids under. That's why you ought to have you ought to have your wife and your children, your husband under the good word of God. I'm glad for preaching, aren't you? I've had preaching make me so mad I want to choke a preacher. Have you ever got mad at the preacher? No, don't say that. Tell me that's a while. Has you ever plowed your tater patch? Have you ever done this pitchfork Baptist thing you got in your life? He sure getting them. Get them, preacher. Well, you ought to put your pitchfork down. Just say, here I am, bring it on. Praise God.
Right.
Listen, we need all kinds of preaching. We need preaching to soften our heart. Preaching to skin our hide. We need it all. Don't you think so? I tell you, Baptist people have been around preaching, and preaching's what helped our churches.
Right.
Thank God for preaching. I remember when I was in Bible college, here's the way life is. You got to be broke, and most of the time, here's what you got to be, discouraged. I mean, I went from making $500 a day to $200 a month. Now, you talking about a big adjustment. You talking about trying to learn to live by faith. And I'm going to tell you, I heard old Brother Sinus say, God, will put the angels on half ration before he let one of his children go with that. I said, you don't know where I'm at, praise God. Got to pray for books. Got to pray for shoes. Got to pray for this. Got to pray for that. And wonder how you're going to get this done, that done. And I remember I was just so beat down, preacher, I didn't think I could make it. I remember the first time I waltzed in Brother Sammy Allen's camp meeting down in Resaca, Georgia. I was, Lord, dear God, I was underneath the rocks. I was underneath the wagon wheel. Where I was at, buddy. And I walked in there. I didn't know who that preacher was, where he come from. And here's what he began to rear back and preach on. Well, I'm a preaching on today. Mule Skinner Blues. Well, little did he know I had Mule Skinner Blues. But God sent me what I needed for my heart. I'm telling you, aren't you glad? Thank God, God will fill up the man of God, give you what you need. And when you show up in the house of God, he's been a studying, and God been speaking to his heart, and he'll give you what you need. You'll make it another mile. Sometimes you come in discouraged. Sometimes you come in defeated. And sometimes you come in disappointed. But aren't you glad? Thank God that you'll just come in and take your place in the house of God, as somebody will sing, and a man of God will get to preaching, and you'll get your sword back out and said, come on, where's the devil at? I think I'll go another mile. Ain't that right? Thank God for preaching. And I'm glad the word of God can help your heart and stir up your heart that you'll enjoy the good things of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, aren't you glad that God chose preachers? Yes. When I met your preacher, I thought he's a politician, I see. Gonna find out he's a banker. I'm kidding, preacher, I'm kidding. Really, I tell you what he is. He's a good man of God.
Amen.
And so I'm glad that the Lord let me come this way tonight. Preaching's wonderful. I love it, don't you?
Yes.
It helps you, helps me, it helps the house of God. And brethren, the only way you're going to get your eyes back on Jesus, if God's men start preaching what we need,
We
need help, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, if ever a generation needs help, friend, we need help. And the only thing I know can help, more important than a brain surgeon, more important than a heart surgeon, more important than a cancer doctor, is God's men in the pulpit running back preaching God's message to God's people, and they get help when they need it, praise God.
Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I thank God showed us in this Bible that it took a little bit of preaching to get them where I needed to be. Watch this, I'm gonna show you something. It's amazing that this come along in their life. Look at verse number 27. From verse number 1 to verse number 27, something has taken place. Now in verse number 27, they return. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat was in the forefront of them, going again to Jerusalem with joy. They went to Jerusalem with joy.
Amen.
You know what I think? How I turn our eyes upon the Lord. We need to start worshiping God.
Amen.
I mean, flat-footed, just let your hair down and have an old-fashioned Baptist running fit.
Amen.
Have you ever had one? Have you ever done it at home when nobody's watching? Some folk I know, God's going to put in kindergarten when we get to heaven. And y'all be up, some folk will be over there going, amen. He said, no, that ain't it. Some of them will say, amen. No, that ain't it. God said, shout with a loud voice. God said, lift up your voice and worship God and praise his name.
Amen.
I know we're dignified. We're supposed to say, amen. Nobody gets excited now. But I promise you, if I took you to a football game, or your double first cousin, or your aunt, or your grandma, or your wife inherited $5 million, they said, I'm going to give you half of it. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Ain't nobody left yet, have, because I ain't done yet. I'm close. It's amazing we can get excited everywhere else. But we ain't supposed to get excited at church. We supposed to be reverent. Find that when you find Paul and them boys running through town.
Yeah, that's right.
They even got so thrilled at midnight, they sang praises and they worshiped God, and it started an earthquake. Now, it sort of got on me the first time I seen it happen. I really didn't know much about all this stuff, because I'm, like I said, I was raised in a bootlegger's home. All we done was fuss and fight and cuss and shoot at each other and all that crazy stuff. We said, redneck, here's the way we are. Here's the way as bad we are, sir. You look like a Marine or something sitting up here. I'm going to back up. Brother Tommy, you help me now. Way we were, we said, redneck, if you took our arm off of us, we'd let you have it. But you better watch it, because we'll take it away from you later and beat you half to death with it. That's how redneck we are. And we just carry on like that. That's the way we are. It was normal. So I went to the house of God. I hadn't been around much after I got saved. I wound up less than 6 months old down at Bible college. Give away a house, a car. My wife said, hey, fool, half of that's mine. And so she said, go ahead, and we did. So I wound up in Bible college, and Sunday there was a fellow by the name of Skelton. Old Brother Skelton. I'll never forget him. And every once in a while, Brother Seidler, he said, here's what he'd say. Don't blame me. I started with a text. Look what God done with it. Help thyself, my brother. I'm sitting, well, what is all that all about? Old Brother Skelton, here's what he'd do, preacher. I need to show you. My wife don't like me doing this, but I'm going to show you what he'd do. Honey, forgive me, because I'm going to show him. He'd get his handkerchief out, and he'd lay it on top of his head. He had a flat top haircut, and he'd run through that church crying, well, glory, well, glory. I thought somebody spray him with Raid or something. Somebody hem that boy up, they something wrong with him. I thought, why does he have to do that? Why the preacher's preaching? Does he have to do it then? Well, I'll tell you why he did it. He was there when Brother Seidler said, this is where God wants to put tabernacle. He was there when they stood in the grass and held hands on the side of White Horse Road. And they begged God. He was there when they turned the first shovel of dirt over, Brother Tommy, and poured the foundation. They shouted and they cried and they thanked God that they could put a foundation in. They crawled from White Horse Road up to the pulpit, and they laid under that communion table way on past 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the first service. You know what they nicknamed Tabernacle Baptist Church? You know what the nickname was? Happy Knackle. So all of them had children. War breaks out. All the kids go off to war. Before they all go off to war, they bring them all in and they pray over them that God bring them home. One by one they left, one by one they came back. Except for Brother Skelton's son. 4 long years, State Department would say this. You boys are MIA. KIA, killed in action, MIA. They could never get it right. Never could find him. Missing in action. Never could find him. We're talking about charter member of that old church. Everybody else's sons and families together. Every time him and his wife walk in the door, they're thinking, wonder why God don't my boy. Wonder why God don't ever let me know about my son. Well, the Tommy, night after night, they prayed. Year after year, they prayed. Come to the end of it, sir, here's what he said to his wife. I ain't praying no more. God don't care. I don't believe in this God stuff. I'm telling you, I'm sick of it. God ain't done anything. God ain't done nothing to help us. And she said, did you hear what the preacher said tonight? He said, yeah, I guess we better pray. So they prayed. Then she come in on a Sunday night after service and said, I don't think it's no use for us to pray. I'm going to quit. And he said, didn't you hear what the preacher said? And they'd pray. Come down to the last day, sir. Here's what happened. I know it's late. Listen to me just a second. Neither one of them wanted to pray. They turned the lights off and didn't. All they wanted, brother, was to know where the body was. wanted to know where my son's body is so I can give him some rest. Turned the light back on that night, sir. She said to him, and he said to her, "This ain't right." He said, "Let's try it one more time." They held hands across that bed. And here's what they prayed. "Lord, by the time the sun comes up in the morning, just let me know where my son's at. I got to know where that boy's at." Hours of the morning rocked around. All of a sudden, outside the window of their bedroom, in the middle of the night, she said, "Did you hear that?" He said, "Yeah, I heard it." She said, "You going to turn the light on?" He said, "No, I ain't turning the light on. You turn it on. I ain't turning the light on. The only person ever done that way was our boy. And I don't look out that window and be disappointed." She said, "Well, turn the light on. Let's sit and think about it." They turned the light on, sir. Pulled the little roll-up blind up. Standing out in the night was their boy saluting. Do you understand now why that old man run to the house of God and said, "Glory, glory, glory"? I can tell you one better than that. You was in your sin on your way to hell. Had God not come by, we'd be screaming in the flames of hell. But I'm not going that way, brethren. I'm saved by the grace of God. My name's in glory. I'm going to worship the God that loved me in spite of me. I think Baptists ought to get their shout back. Praise God. Best way to get rid of a preacher shouting, praise God, he'll die of a heart attack. That's right. God's good to us, ain't he? I want you to stand to your feet. Maybe the devil's trying to rob you today and work on you, and I appreciate the man of God letting me be here. Hear me out, will you? Maybe there's a load in your heart that you've carried for a while, and you just need to slip out of that pew and gather around this old-fashioned altar. You've done it before. You've been there before. The music playing. You ought not have anybody prod you. You ought to ease on down to the altar and turn your eyes upon the Lord, that God can deliver you and help you. Won't you do that tonight? Anybody need some help from Jesus and want God to help you? If you got nothing else to pray about, help me pray about this. There's a Presbyterian building sitting over in Benson, empty. Seat 300 people. And they still want high dollar for that building. God's got to work a miracle and work that out. But I got a God big enough to do whatever he needs to do to get that done for the glory of God. Would you help me pray about that? That the Lord might do something. Sister, would y'all play something, please? Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Carry that burden, Daddy, Mama. You carrying that burden. Your heart broke. You need God's help. Why, you ought not carry that forever. God intended for you to take it and lay at the feet of Jesus, that the Lord could help your life. God's able to help you. Oh, yes, the Lord's able to strengthen your heart. Pray for that husband, that son, that child, that job, that need in your life that God could do a great and a mighty work for you. The Lord can help you, child of God. You don't have to carry that forever. Jesus can turn all that heartache into triumph. He knows how to fix the broken. He knows how to take the shattered pieces and put them all together. He knows how to mend a broken heart. He knows how to provide a job if that's what you need. He still works miracles, wonders to perform, that God's people could get what they need. I'm so glad that I was able to get around the fire, that God let me get around where all that old time fire was at, that His power could help her life. Aren't you? The precious man of God's coming. Thank you, dear pastor. Such a precious, precious man. Allow me to be here and our folks to come. Thank you so much.